Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning to every one of you. A blessed Palm Sunday. Today we enter into Palm Sunday and we enter into the Holy Week as we look forward towards Good Friday and Easter next week. Today we call it Palm Sunday is also because we remember the time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem riding on the donkeys and people welcomed him using palm leaves and placed on the ground to welcome and usher him in as the king. Today, even as we read and hear the sermon, we are hearing God's, or rather Jesus' words. So even as we commemorate Palm Sunday and lift him up in worship and praise, let us also remember the words of which he preached to us through the Sermon on the Mount. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you bless this time that we have. That truly, as we hear your words, Lord Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, that we will learn and remember and truly lift up and worship and praise you like they did on Palm Sunday, Lord. God, may you bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Earlier, Pastor Wen Chong was leading us through the songs, and I'm sure that from the songs, the message is very, very clear. There's so many, many songs written on Christ being the solid rock and how Jesus' words are the foundation of our life. For example, one of the songs he sang earlier, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." That was a very, very old hymn written in 1834 by a pastor in England called Edward Mote. And that whole hymn itself, if you look at the entire lyrics of the hymn, was centered around today's sermon passage taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. And there, Edward Mote, this pastor, acknowledges Jesus as that solid rock in his life as well. And very fitting, we have also come to this end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it has been many Sundays since January. We are now in March, entering into April. And every Sunday, you hear a lot of sermons. But it is only just one sermon by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus preached from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and now today we are at chapter 7. It's really one long sermon packed with so much details and lessons for us to consider, for us to follow. Here in chapter 7 itself, if I may just show you around the context of chapter 7 itself, Jesus was nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he was teaching his disciples to stay humble. Do not judge each other, he says in verses 1 to 6. He says, pray to God, seek for God, ask of him, knock on his door in verses 7 to 11. And he taught us the golden rule of how we can treat other people, treating them with fairness, when he say, treat others how you want them to treat you, in verse 12. He also said in verses 15 to 20, to be on the lookout and on guard for false teachers who may mislead the people of God or mislead church. And last Sunday itself, Reverend Dr. James covered for us verses 21 to 23 and teaches us and reminding us that at the end of the day, it's about establishing that relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, in the passage that we just read, used once again some metaphorical examples, a figure of speech, an illustration, a picture. But yet the stories that he gave was packed with meanings when he talked about those who build the house on the rock and those who build the house on sand. It's through such images and stories that Jesus hoped to connect with people and help people understand better his intent and meaning. Let's look at the verses once again, all right, and try to understand what Jesus really implied when he used all these metaphorical images. Verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them. So Jesus was basically saying a group of people, everyone who hears his words, but not just hear, but do them. And Jesus said here in verse 24 that people who hear and do will be like wise people. And what do these wise people do? They build their house on the rock. Why is this house? Why is a house metaphorically? Well, if you think about it, a house is where there is a place of refuge for us. A house is where that you eat, you sleep, you play, you rest. A house is where that you call your home. A house is where that you keep your treasures, where you have your family and your loved ones together. Basically, when Jesus mentioned about building a house, that house means to build your life. It's your whole life, your safety, your protection. Jesus was referring to that. So when you build your house, he's talking about building your life, living out, in other words, your life, practicing your life. And so Jesus was saying, are you building your life, living your life, in accordance to what he has heard, what he has taught? When you hear, you do it. And he said, those who are wise will do it on a rock. What is a rock? A rock is a firm foundation, and a foundation of which we build our house. You know, when in structural engineering, when you have to build a building, for example, you have to do piling works, right? And so that you have a deep and good and strong foundation. And if it's a good, solid foundation at the base of the building, your building can stand secure. But imagine if your piling works is done on shifting sands. And then through the years, your building may shift as the sand move and eventually may collapse. And that's what Jesus meant. And Jesus says that when the rain fell, the floods came in verse 25, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. What are all these rain and floods and winds? Jesus was referring to trouble that we meet in life. That trouble will come, circumstances will come in life. There will be instability, there will be unrest. But those who hear his words and do them will be on a firm foundation that will not fall. You are able to weather the storm, withstand turmoil, you'll be in order and rest and peace. On the other hand, Jesus gave another group of people in verse 26. He says, everyone, again, who hears his words but do not do them will be foolish. And he's talking about this second group of people who hears but do not do. They are the people who build their house like on sand. Can you build a house on sand? Yes, you can, right? I mean, there are villagers who build huts, fishermen villages along the beach, the seaside, and it's sand. You can build houses on the sand. But the sand is shifting, uneven, and unstable foundation. It cannot take a big building, or maybe perhaps a little small hut. But even so, verse 27 says, when the rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against those houses that's built on sand, it fell, and great was the fall. When there's trouble again in life, such house cannot hold. Such a life, because Jesus was giving metaphorical images, that a house or a life that is built on shifting sands will be a life that is messy, chaotic, confused, unstable. It will crumble and there will be no rest and no peace. So Jesus was saying that those who only hear his words but don't practice, don't do them, will be building our house, our life, on shifting sands. Building life upon fleeting and unsettling sands. These are the people who hear and do not do. If you look at these two groups of people, there are similarities and there are differences. Both groups of people, those who build their house on rock and those who build their house on sand, they both have heard Jesus' teachings. So we can assume that Jesus, as he speaks to the crowds at the Sermon on the Mount, he's referring to all those who have heard his sermons. And for us today, from January, we have been hearing all these sermons till today, in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we have heard these sermons. We are like these people. Both have heard Jesus' teachings. And Jesus was exhorting and urging them to do what he has taught us. Now the first group did what Jesus has taught. But the second group doesn't. In other words, the first group practice and live out what Jesus taught, while the second one hear and forget. Or they hear and they don't care what they have heard. Both build their houses. Both build their lives. And about talking about building houses, when I was preparing this sermon, an image that came to my mind is the childhood story that we heard about three little pigs. Remember? So the three little pigs built three different houses, right? The three brother pigs. One built a house of straw, one on wood, and one on brick. And then a wolf came, and then he blew half and a path. The house of hay or straw fell, the wood fell, but the brick stand secure. But those are different metaphorical meanings. Jesus here isn't telling us about building sturdier houses. Not that your house should be a house of straw or wood or brick. Jesus wasn't referring to the condition of your house or how big or strong your house is. In other words, Jesus isn't talking about how your life is. Jesus was telling us to look at the foundation of the house, not at your house. Well, my house is very big and very beautiful. My house is, three-story or two-story, and my house is one-story. It's not about that. My house is built of brick or gold or silver. Not about that. Jesus says it doesn't matter what your house is built of, but look at your foundation of what your house is building on. That is what that matters. And so the houses refer to our lives, but what we build on, the foundation, is Jesus' words. Those who build on rock are those who live out Jesus' words. They are building on a firm and stable foundation. But if we are not living by Jesus' words, then we are only living by whose words? Our own words. Our own words are the ways of the world. So this second group of people are the people who build their house upon shifting sands, unstable foundation. They are really people who pursue their own ways or the ways of the world. In the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, when Edward Moore, the pastor who wrote it, sang that all other ground is sinking sand. He says, on Christ the solid rock, Christ is the solid rock. All other ground out there is sinking sand. There's only one rock, and this is the one. So every other so-called ground out there is sinking sand, as sung in that song. In other words, our own ways, those who follow our own ways, those who follow the ways of the world, we are actually building our lives on sinking sand. What are examples of ways of the world which are sinking sand? The things that are unsettling always changing and shifting like sands of the world. There are many examples that we can think of. For example, products, right? Fashion. Fashion always will change. And if I'm to hold on to one fashion today, tomorrow another fashion ready. And then I hold on to a technology, tomorrow another technology. I remember many years ago, when I was young, we listened to cassette tapes. Then later on, people said, there's a new thing coming in. It's called LDs. Wow, there are a lot of people go and buy LDs. But I thought, the one, I want to go further. I heard that there's a new product coming out called the MDs, the mini disc player. So I go and buy an MD player. You know, when people listen to the LDs and all that, I listen to MD, I buy an MD player. But very soon, the CDs came out. And then all these become obsolete. Then my MD player just sit there and collect dust. There's no way that we can catch up with all this technology. I thought I was one step ahead of others, but I was not. In lifestyles, there's always fleeting and changing. You always hear people say that, the ways that we do things 10, 20 years ago is different from the way we do things today, right? Like 10, 20 years ago, maybe parents in disciplining the children will take out cane, right? And we whack. And that is okay. When neighbors look at that and say, good parenting. You go to school, then you have all the cane marks, and then they'll say, shame. Yeah, you must have learned your lesson. Good. Your parents were disciplining you. Today cannot all, right? Today you whip out a cane and all this. People will find, are you abusing your child? Is it physical abuse, right? People talk about this. In fact, today, if you have to go up to someone and call him, you stupid, you get into trouble for that. There are many shifting ways of the world that's changing all the time. Relationships, how friends are to be, how we treat our friends. In the past, perhaps, the way we live our lives is, our parents may not go out and stay overnight. But today, the younger people may, we go out and hang out. It's okay, it's different. It's very different. And the way that we approach even relationships. In the past, we would just shake hands. And today, young people say, no, we can hug each other. But are you sure? But that's not how we live. And that's not how we treat our friends with respect in the past. And it's very different. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Shifting sense of the world, the way that we would change, if we are to hold on today and to that and say that this is the way I will live my life because this is the way I will put my life, my house, my foundation upon, this will not work. This will not work because it will always change. The views of the world today are very different and it will always change. Methods and approaches will change. Laws and policies will change with time. And there is no absolution in the world. There's no, nothing is absolute. Everything becomes relative. You know, I was just talking to Pastor Jordan a few days ago that in movies, where we watch movies nowadays, there are no bad guys. Last time it's very clear there's a hero and there's a bad guy, very villain, and the hero will fight the bad guy and that's it. But today, the bad guys, you look at them, are they really bad or not? They're not really bad, they are misunderstood. You know, very gray. Take for example, one of the latest movie, Wonder Woman 1984. That bad guy, the villain in the movie, is he really bad? He has a son who he loves very much, and he's trying to grant people wishes, you know? So is he really bad? At the end of the day, he wasn't really arrested or anything. He was like, he learned his lesson, okay. So he's very gray. He's like misunderstood. Or the Avengers movie, the big bad guy, Thanos, right? Snap of the finger and kill 1/3 of the population. But he's probably just misunderstood because he finds that people are evil in the world. Let's get rid of some. You know, it's like there's no bad guys and good guys nowadays. It's no more black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. Even in our conversations, recently I went to an aquarium because I was interested in fishes. Gwendolyn, my daughter, just got some fishes as pets. And then I was going to aquarium, asking around, talking to the uncle. And so I was asking uncle, I said, uncle, so these fishes, which one are the hardy kind one? Because I'm not very good with fishes. So what are the hardy fishes? Is this fish very pretty? Is it hardy? And the uncle replied to me, 不一定, it depends. It's not certain. I said, okay. Then this fish very hardy one. I heard, this kind of sucker fish, very hardy one. No need to take care so much one, right? Then he replied again, 不一定, not certain. They said, oh, okay. Then this one surely, huh? This one also very hardy. Then he also said, 不一定. Then, okay. You know, sometimes even your reply nowadays, nothing is, I just want to know which one then is a hardy fish, you know, that I can buy for my daughter or something. You know, is it, what is black or what is white? Even as I read in the articles on Google, I was just trying to type a simple words. For example, how many genders are there in the world today? We all know in the Bible very clear, God has created man and women, two genders. But as I read on the internet, there are people who say there are 57 genders. But some other articles say there are 7 genders. Some say there are 15 genders. And it's very confusing because different people define it different ways. So if we are to refer to all these ways of the world and how people are defining it, then there's so many. But really, the physical gender that we know, there are just two genders, two sexes, a male and a female, a man and a woman. It doesn't matter what you think or you feel in your mind that I'm in between, I'm here, more here or there, or how many percent here and there. But what you are physically born as is what you are. Are you a male or are you a female? Simple as that. But yeah, we confuse, the world is so always changing and always saying that there's a different number of genders. It's like if we are to depend on our own ways and understandings, we don't even know what we are. We don't even know what we want. So the ways of the world are fleeting and always changing. And spiritually, if we are to build our foundations on the way of the world, it is unstable at best. Again, I say, can you build your house on sand, fleeting sand such as this? Yes, you can build a house. Yes, you can build your life. But this sand will not hold the weight and stress of the house, the contents, and the inhabitants. Building a foundation on the ways of the world is unsettling, is fragile, is confusing, is chaotic. It goes against the principles that we hold dear. Both of these groups have rains and floods and winds beat on them. There will be trouble on everyone. And Jesus was also saying here that he's not saying that, wow, if you follow my words, you'll be free from all these winds and rains and floods. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that if you follow his ways and do his ways, you'll be free from life's circumstances. No. It will hit all of us. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. Take COVID-19 as an example. Everyone is affected. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or you're non-Christian, you're rich or you're not rich, you're strong or you're poor, or anything like that. It doesn't matter because it hits everyone. Trouble will come, Jesus is saying, to everyone. But where is your foundation? And the first group who listen and do are considered wise. But those who listen and do not do, but follow the ways after the ways of the world and their own ways, Jesus called them foolish. What is foolish? Foolish means you know something, yet you don't do. That's foolish, lah. I know it's red light, but I still drive. Of course, that's being foolish, right? Be wise, Jesus is saying. If you have heard it, if you have known it, then do it. There is no gray area for Jesus. It's clear black or white. And sometimes you ask, I'm a Christian, but can I just tell a little white lie? Just once, lah. What do you think? No, for Jesus it's black or white. Can I cheat a bit? What do you think? It's either you are for him or not. Can I be dishonest a little? Can I disobey God a bit? What do you think? For God, it's either black or white. Are you on solid rock or are you not? Building life upon Jesus' words, those who hear and those who do. Last week we heard from Reverend Dr. James, the talk that he preached from Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23, that says that not all who does the work of God will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus in fact said, you come to me and I will deny you because you have no personal relationship with me. So it's not about what I do. It's not about I'm serving, casting out demons, and I'm very active in church and everything. But Jesus said at the end of the day, if you don't know me, if you do not build your life on my foundation of my words, I do not know you. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said later, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. It's either here or not. For God is absolute, and that is the truth, the fact. The God that we worship is absolute. We are either for him or against him. There's no in between. I think I'm 35% to God this today and 75% to God tomorrow. No, the solid rock of Jesus' ways is absolute. God is holy, and we are only either holy before him or unholy. We are either righteous before him or unrighteous. There's no gray area. Yes, grace is given to us because we cannot come before God wholly on our own. God gives us grace, and he cleanses us, and he brings us to him. But once he brings us to him, we are holy, standing together with him. God's ways are absolute, solid rock, unchanging, unmoving. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God's principles are always the same. His grace will always be that same, yesterday, today, forever. It's always there. And this is good news, I'm telling you. It's not thinking about, God, you never change one, huh? You don't change with the times. No, God is absolute, and it is good news for us, I tell you. Imagine if God keeps changing his position. Today you receive your salvation, tomorrow maybe you will not. After that, maybe you're halfway safe, but not fully. Wow, jialat. Yeah, am I safe or not? No, but God is absolute. When you are with him, he says when you believe in Jesus, he will give you eternal life. He's absolute with that. His covenant may be renewed through the generations from Old Testament to New Testament, but his purpose, his mission has always remained the same. That God will do what he did throughout Bible history to call and bring all mankind back to himself. And when we build our house on that solid rock, our salvation and life become secure on the absolute and unchanging truth of Jesus' words. How then can I build my life on solid rock? That means, how can I build my life, my house, on God's words? And let me give you a few examples. If I'm building my life on sand, I come to church every Sunday, very quiet, just come here and listen to God's word and worship, but I still live a life of disobedience and sin out there in the world. That's building a life on sand. But if we are building our life on rock, we rely on Jesus' teachings here or outside to guide our daily lives, that Jesus' ways will become the truth and anchor of which we live our lives by, and Jesus as a person becomes the key relationship in our very lives. If I'm building my life upon sand, I may be serving in church. Wow, maybe even I serve as a pastor or church leader. But I serve out of personal agenda, selfish motives. I just want pride. I just want fame. That is building my life on sand. And when difficulties come, I crash. I get disappointed. But if I build my life on rock, I practice Jesus' words in the sermons of the mount. Don't forget this passage that we're reading is at the end of this whole Sermon on the Mount. Look back then on what Jesus has taught us from Matthew chapter 5 to 6 to 7. He taught us in chapter 5 to adopt the God-centric perspectives of the Beatitudes. He started off with that, remember? And to keep our life pure and holy, And then he says that in slowly move on to chapter 6 that we are to love others, to help the poor and the needy, and then to trust God with our needs in our life. And he teaches us that we must remember to pray. He taught us how to pray, to ask God, to seek God, to knock on his doors, to remain humble as we serve here in chapter 7. Don't judge others, but self-examination of ourselves, treating others with fairness and respect, looking out for those who may mislead God's people, and then, very importantly, to have that relationship with Jesus. Not just hearing all these words of Jesus, all this teaching, not just forgetting, but let us hear, let us obey. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, I read for you, James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." So if we just hear only, we're deceiving ourselves. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, and he goes away, and at once forgot what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres," to continue to build, to persevere, "being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." When we hear and we do and perseveres, God will bless us. Indeed, the ways of the world, in summary, the ways of the world are fleeting and changing, and building a foundation on the world is unsettling and fragile. But the ways of God are firm, unchanging, absolute, immovable, and these are valuable for us as a strong foundation for life. Here I want to cover a little bit in verses 28 and 29, those, one of those concluding statements in this Sermon of the Mount that says that when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus was not like the scribes. Scribes are people who are learned, who are good with words. They write and read from the scriptures, and they read and write for others. But Jesus does not read and write from others. He taught as if he owns the scriptures. You know, it's like a designer describing his own product compared to a salesperson who is entrusted to sell the product. Who is more passionate? Right? So the scribes are those who talk about God's word, write God's word and other people's word. That's a salesperson who describes about God's word. But Jesus is like the designer of the product. He's the one who owns these words. And he speaks with passion. He speaks with authority. And these are his disclaimer words that's put at the end of the Sermon of the Mount to seal that whatever you have heard from chapter 5 to chapter 7, these are truly with authority of Jesus from the Word of God. In summary of the entire overview of the Sermon of the Mount, Reverend Dr. James also covered with us last week, but I just want to reiterate a little briefly. Now, the Sermon of the Mount focuses on the values, the lifestyles of the citizens of the Kingdom of Heaven. That means all of us, all right? And his teaching is on discipleship, on how we as disciples of Jesus should live our lives in following him. And the Sermon of the Mount, as Reverend Dr. James said last week, was divided into three parts: the introduction, which are the beatitudes to change our perspective towards how life should be in the presence of God, how we are salt and light of the world. And then there's the body, the main body of this sermon, that talks about how the disciples should practice their genuine piety and how they should live their lives in the world. And here in chapter 7 is the conclusion of the Sermon of the Mount. And Jesus was challenging his listeners to make a right response. So Jesus was challenging them to make a right response. And now that we have come to the end of the Sermon of the Mount, it is time for us to make that right response. Are we listeners and then walking away to build our lives on shifting sands? Or are we hearers who will put what Jesus has taught into practice and live it out as foundation on the rock? Let us spend some time in reflection as we look back in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. There's many lessons that we can learn to apply and practice and live out. There's many applications that we can use to build a foundation on Jesus' solid rock. Name one lesson, just one. There are many, okay? You can name 10, sure. But name just one. I just challenge you today, at least one that you have learned from the Sermon on the Mount. Open up your Bibles now, your notes. Flip back, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. What did Jesus has taught us? What is one lesson that you have learned and you will live it out to build it on the solid foundation of Christ, the solid rock? And then as the musicians come up later, we'll pray together and we'll ask God to help us live out this challenge. And I want to also challenge you that you will commit to live out this lesson this week and share with someone your journey so that you'll be accountable. Otherwise, you just think I'll do it, but you forget. Share with somebody and commit to live it out. Ask the Lord for strength. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words. We thank you for your teachings. The Beatitudes is so beautiful that teaches us to be in the right perspective of how to live and look at life. Thank you, God, for reminding us that we are salt and light of the world and we have roles to play in how that we respond to the world around us. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us to wholeheartedly follow you. Not to be like Pharisees, but to truly come before you in prayer, in giving, in fasting, and even in sexual relationships. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching in your Sermon on the Mount how we should practice this genuine piety and how we should live in the world. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us about the two gates and roads that we have to choose in our life, the two kinds of prophets out there, the two kinds of disciples that we can be, and now here, the two kinds of builders. Lord, teach us to choose the narrow way. Teach us to be your true disciples with a wonderful relationship with you. Teach us to build our lives upon your foundation of your solid rock. The Lord, in times of difficulties, it will not be shaken. Teach us, Lord, to respond to your word and to commit ourselves to live holy, absolute lives before you, not to be swayed by ways of the world, even as we enter into this Holy Week, to remember Jesus, his walk and journey up to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins. And when he was there, he took our sins with him, that we can be righteous and holy before God in his grace and mercy, and that we are free to worship you, God. So help us, Lord, with all the wonderful lessons that we have learned, that we will pick at least one to apply and to commit to it and share with our fellow brothers and sisters, such that, Lord, on Good Friday, when we remember your death on the cross, Lord, we will give thanks to you, and come Easter, we will celebrate for the goodness that you have placed in our lives. So help us, God, to live it out and put it into practice, not to be hearers and walk away, but to be hearers and doers of your word. Help us, Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, and we commit our lives, our houses to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.